We'll take your calls on anything.
Call us here for sports.
Sports calls next at 617-779-0985.
Zillack and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand, waiting on Revs head coach and sporting director, Bruce Arena. You got something there, Milliken, or are we all good? We're just waiting on him, right?
We're just waiting. They tweeted it out, so
okay,
should be here.
In the meantime, let's talk to Nick in the car. Nick.
Hey, fellas. What's going on?
Hi.
So I wanted to talk about Devers and the Red Sox a little bit, but I do want to touch on this whole launch angle thing. The Beetle, I hope you realize that the launch angle stuff was created because of the shifting defenses. The defenses constantly shifting created the three true outcomes. And the only way to beat the defense is to choose the one outcome that results in them being on base and scoring runs. So what Theo is doing is limiting the shifting defenses, allowing for more of those outcomes, which is what you guys are talking about inadvertently with the quote-unquote surprises.
Okay, but if you eliminate the shift in the infield, why do you have to add an additional one in the outfield?
Because that's where most of the balls, that's where most of the bases are accrued. When you get into the gap or you hit one to the warning track, you have more of a chance for a double or a triple. And when you can't do that, then you're limiting.
That's not what it's about. It's about fly balls. It's not about hitting one into the gap. It's about fly balls. It's about eliminating the predictable outcome. So you're wrong about that.
More doubles and triples, as Theo said. More speed, which
on,
goes in-
on fly balls exactly. That guys can't catch up to because you've started them right on the infield.
Precisely.
That not because they're hitting balls into the gap and they want those to turn doubles into triples. That's not what it is. All right, we have to put a pause on that. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, head coach, sporting director of the New England Revolution, Bruce Arena, with us once again. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Let me start with something sort of related to what we've talked about today. And we talk a lot in sports about rule changes that are necessary, we believe, in the NFL or in baseball. We do a lot of that with baseball. Are there any MLS rule changes that you would like to see?
Well, our sport is governed by FIFA, and the rules come from the international governing body, FIFA. Once in a while, there are things outside the field that MLS can do, but any of the rules on the field is controlled by FIFA, and they make changes or adjustments every year. One of the most common ones now, if you watch our games, is they delay putting a flag up for offside. They let the play continue, and then they'll put the flag up late and lean towards the videotape replays, the VAR. And that's a new rule change that we find completely ridiculous because they allow play to continue, and sometimes it gets dangerous with the potential for injury. So that's one area that there's been a rule change, and we don't necessarily agree with it.
I know you've had an issue in the past. I think anyone who's watched the game has had issue with VAR, too. But that's not so much rules. It is procedural, and it's just I guess at the end of the day, you just want them to get it right, and you don't want to inhibit play as a result of it. And sometimes both what you mentioned with the flag for the offside and the VAR, it's like if you're going to go through this, get it right. You know, that at the end of the day, I think that's what both sides ultimately want.
Well, I agree completely. In any sport where you use a video replay, you're using it to get the play right, not to get it wrong. And so often we see that when they go to VAR, they don't get it right. So that's troubling. You know, and I know you see it a lot in the NFL as well. So, you know, hopefully in all the sports we can continue to move forward and get better with the video replays.
All right, Bruce, you signed a Serbian goalie by the name of Jorge Petrovic, and I hope I correctly pronounced his name. I don't want anybody to screw his name up. First of all, how'd you find this guy in Serbia? Like from a scouting department standpoint,
like everything else, you get people to pass on names, and whether it's an agent or a coach we may know in Europe or whatever. But the amazing part about this goalkeeper is. And I'm not completely sold all the time on seeing names and videos that are placed in front of me. As soon as I saw some video on him, I thought he was the right goalkeeper for us. I think he has outstanding potential. He's physically big. He's very skillful for his age. And he's been outstanding in his league. And we think we got ourselves a real good one.
So he's poised to become the starter once Turner is gone.
Yeah, there's a chance of that. You know, again, like anybody else, and especially in our sport, which is a little different than, you know, perhaps the NFL, you're not coming from a foreign country. So there's adjustments culturally for players and our style of play, our team, those type of things. But we think he has the potential to make the adjustment quickly and will certainly threaten to be our first goalkeeper.
So I'm always curious when coaches do have to look at a tape when there's a player who's played in another country, another league. When you look at that tape and you scout him, and as you said, you thought he was the right guy right away, what do you look at aside from the level of talent that he's playing with, and how hard is it to sort of figure out if you think a guy will translate?
Well, for goalkeepers, in some ways it's a little easier because they stop shots, and he's excellent at that, and he has a great record in terms of goals against average and saves. And you know, that's the biggest thing we looked at, and looked at his instincts, his positioning in the goal, and he really looks to be very good for his age.
You guys aren't humming right now, and you know, we could sit here every week and talk to you about getting it going. Anything out of the norm that you do to try and get this thing turned around for you guys before Saturday?
Well, I think we'll keep moving forward. I think if you saw our last game. The only thing I would say about that game is that we must have thought it was the holiday season that we were giving away some gifts, because we actually played pretty well against Red Bull. Red Bull did not play well against us. They were very defensive, and then we had a major error at the end of the game where we conceded an own goal. And that's a game, if we played that over 10 times, we'd get a point out of that game. And so that's a big mistake on our part, and I felt the Salt Lake game that we've lost a couple of weeks before, that it was the same thing. So although we have a record right now of 1 win, 3 losses and a draw, we think as a team we probably should have been 2-1-1 at the worst. So we're pretty close to getting it right, and I think Saturday's a big test for us. We got to turn it around.
You promised us around this time last year more goals, and based on the last three games, you know, ha ha ha, more goals would win. But yeah, when you're held scoreless in the second match there in the CONCACAF, and score one against Charlotte and shut out against the Red Bulls, is that a focus? Are you working on something up top to maybe?
I think I can promise again we'll score more goals than that.
Okay.
You know, we can only get better. Yeah, we'll get better. You know, we're gonna get Bo back in a few weeks. Right. You know, we'll have Buxa back. And it'll get better. Believe me, we're not happy where we are right now, but we know we'd have a number of games left to get better, and we will. We'll turn it around.
Who do you like in the Masters this weekend, Bruce?
I tell you, as we're talking, I hate to tell you this, but I'm actually watching the Masters as well.
What do you think?
It's all fine. I'm liking Tiger Woods, I tell you.
I didn't like that par bid he just had on 8 that went past the hole and made his first bogey of the round. But
did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not good.
But he looks good.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's probably not going to win, obviously. And there's a lot of good players. And, you know, Justin Thomas and Spieth, I think, have a good chance. And Dustin Johnson, I think, has some potential to be dangerous in this tournament.
We've talked
just
about
watch
this.
Out for the stairs. That's all.
Yeah, the stairs. We talk a lot about, you know, comebacks in sports here on Sports Radio, but you know, you being one of the most historical coaches, and you've seen guys come back from gross injuries, and if you know the details of Tiger's leg and going back to over a year ago when they were talking about amputating it, are you amazed he's playing or even in this tournament and trying to make that comeback?
I am. It's incredible. And I'll tell you this: I've been telling my coaches this the last week. I went to the Masters in 2017, and I walked Augusta, and I was absolutely exhausted. And to see him come back and be moving the way he is, Augusta is much steeper, longer than it appears on television, And it is a real challenge just to walk the course and to come back from the kind of injury he had and swing in a club and move in the way he is absolutely remarkable.
All right. Well, Saturday, national TV spot for the Revs as they take on Miami FC, 3 o'clock, both on ESPN and also here on the Sports. Bruce, thanks for the time.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, right. Bruce. Right. Bruce Arena with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We'll ask him about the Yankees next week. We asked about the Masters this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Get his baseball takes.
I think he's probably, I think, like most people.
What hurt you the most when you came back from walking Augusta Harding? Was it like the front of your shins or the calves?
Calves.
Instep.
Heel.
Back.
I'm not saying like I'm a big tough guy or I'm in great shape. I think I was on pure adrenaline for the, you know, the whole 8-9 hours I was walking the course. So I didn't feel it. It was
2 days later, maybe.
It was such a whirlwind. I was back on a plane that night. I was flying home the same day I walked the course. So I don't know. I was just you know, tired anyway. But no, it's real hilly.
Steeper and longer, according to Bruce Arena.
Yep.
617-779-0985. We'll continue with your calls coming up next. Have that baseball conversation in play about rule changes and the possibility of the sport looking different in the near future. Not 5 or 10 years, but in the near future. That's all coming up. Today's takeaways at 150.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.